Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
If you're like me and suffer from insomnia, you know what? That's not fun. You know, I tried everything. I couldn't get a good night's sleep. And this is neither drug nor alcohol induced. That's right. It is MyPillow. Mike Lindell invented it, and he fitted me for my first MyPillow, and it's changed my life. I fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and the good news, you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code Sean, and take advantage of one of Mike Lindell's best offers, his special four-pack. You get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, no risk to you, and a 10-year warranty. You don't want to spend more sleepless nights on a pillow tossing and turning that's not working for you. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Use the promo code Sean, and you get Mike Lindell's special four-pack. You get two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, 50% off, and you'll start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep you've been craving and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Sean. All right, happy month. How could this possibly be that Donald Trump is at a 50% approval, and yes, higher than where Barack Obama was at this time in his presidency? How could it, how is that even possible? With all the Russia, stormy, how could any of this happen? The media is scratching their liberal head saying, oh, this is an anomaly. Rasmussen was, I think, the most accurate, him and McLaughlin in the last presidential election. You know, I'll give you an example. We have spent time in, and I've read lists. I'm a big list guy. I like going on. Here's the list of Obama's failed policies. Here's a list of all the accomplishments of Donald Trump that you never hear about. And I put it up on the screen, on television, and let people see it, because I just think no one else is going to report it. At least I can do a job that they would never do because they are so abusively biased. So I kind of look at it, well, that's my job. And by the way, they've given me a huge opening, like an open field. You have all the anti-Trump, destroy Trump media out there. And then you've got Hannity and a few other of us in radio and TV. And not many. And then we've got our assembled team of crackerjack investigators and reporters that we've basically broken 100 stories to their zero in terms of everything that we've been able to put together in the last year on this program and on TV every night. I mean, it's so bad. The Hill reports another example of why more and more Americans every day, they can't trust the media to fairly report anything. New York Magazine taking a swipe at the president. They have a new cover depicting the president as a pig. Just stop for a minute. Imagine if they ever did this to Obama. Just imagine. There was an article I tweeted out this weekend. Obama in pictures. Why 33 moments, pictures, why we miss Obama. And everyone, was a heart-wrenching video. You could do the same thing, same scenes with Donald Trump, but they'd never print that. And it's not everybody that misses Obama. I'm sure the people that were out of work and in poverty and on food stamps that are now working and back in the labor force and off of food stamps and out of poverty, I bet they're pretty happy Obama's gone and the economy's turning around. I'm just guessing. You know, here's another story that the media, the corrupt media, will never tell you. You got an 8-year-old kid. His name, his father ended up on a kidney transplant list around Christmas of last year. So the 8-year-old kid writes President Trump. The letter Trump sent in response has done nothing but inspire this kid. Now, but for Fox, I don't think you'd ever know about this story, and but for talk radio. Anyway, so Four's father is his name. His name's Trey Putnam. He's been battling a rare blood disorder for the past 3 years, and it's caused his kidneys now to lose function, and he has to undergo dialysis treatment 3 days a week. By the way, that's brutal. I know people on dialysis. It's a very, very difficult way to live your life. The transplant lists are very, very large. They have a whole system of prioritizing who gets a liver transplant, who gets a kidney transplant, who gets this transplant. But anyway, in the case of dialysis, if you have ever known anybody that's ever been through it, it's a pretty rough haul. And you're just hoping and praying that one day somebody that's a match may come along and they had donated. Well, I mean, when I'm dead, I don't need my kidneys. Take them. What do I care? I mean, take anything you want. I should probably sign one of those forms, right? that I give away my take everything. I'm not sure. Yeah, and I'll even donate it to a liberal, and maybe it'll turn them into a conservative. You never know. All right, why are you laughing? I don't think my kidneys are going to. I don't think that anyone's going to. I use so much salt. I don't think anyone's going to want those kidneys. Those kidneys will go into, you know, complete withdrawal the second, you know, that I pass away. It's going to be like there's not enough salt that this person's going to put in their body that's going to match what they're used to. I know. A few of my bad habits, I can't help it. I love salt. I just do. I suck on pretzels just to get the salt.
Breaking news now.
Really, Jason? Okay. So anyway, so the guy's been, he's got a rare blood disorder. He's lost kidney function. He's on dialysis. Each treatment is 5 hours. Then it leaves him too sick to even work. And sad seeing his dad go through all of this. Well, anyway, this kid, four, sent letters to President Trump and Ivanka Trump and Santa Claus. And it says, "Dear Mr. President, my dad has been sick for a long time. He's had to have a kidney to live, and I want him to get better so he can get a job again and we can play. And my mom just left, so if my dad gets better, she might come back. That's all I want for Christmas." This is a heart-wrenching letter, adding that maybe one toy. I mean, which is pretty, I know. We need to find this kid's address, send him a toy. You know, we'll send him, what do you want to send him, a bicycle? Maybe we'll send him an iPad. Is 8 years too young for an iPad? Every kid wants an iPad. How about an Xbox or a PlayStation or something like that?
I'll ask his parents what's appropriate.
Anyway, so his grandmother got a letter on official White House stationery, and she called her son, and I went to the mailbox, and I got it out in the official envelope, she said, and I really thought it was probably just a canned picture of him with some sort of canned response, but I called my son and told him that Four had some mail here, and when we opened it, I was just in awe. As busy as presidents are, he took the time to write to an 8-year-old that has such a heart for his father. And Trump's letter praised him for being a brave young man with a big heart. And he said he and his staff were looking into, you know, what help they might be able to provide his father. Now, I got to tell you, this is how the media will spin this. Now the guy's going to end up finding kidneys that match because he'll probably get on. Like, for example, if you're on a kidney transplant list, you want to be on the list in a big city. Because if you're on a list in a big city, more people pass away, more donors, you have greater opportunity to get it. So, I mean, something's going to happen, and they're going to say, Donald Trump took kidneys away from this person. I guarantee that's how the media would run the story. Anyway, so the president wrote, and he said, "Thank you for sharing your story with me. I'm so sorry to hear your dad's going through a difficult time. It's clear to me that you care so much for him. I have shared your letter with my staff. They're working to see what help they can provide. I can tell you you're a brave young man with a big heart. I admire your determination to make sure your dad has the support and the resources he needs to feel better. I hope you know how much joy and encouragement you already bring him. Mrs. Trump and I will keep you and your dad in our thoughts and in our prayers. With very best wishes, Donald Trump." The president. Now, presidents can't answer every single letter that's sent to them. It's impossible. But anyway, the father said he didn't even know his son had written the letter until the president's response arrived. He said, "I've been on the kidney list for 3 years and you kind of feel helpless, just like I'm never going to get it. But all the people that responded on it on Facebook and people calling, we actually had a few people give us their information that are interested in maybe donating it. It really made me smile again. Most of all," he said, "I just want people to know how proud I am of my son. He's extraordinary and special, and he always thinks about everybody else more than he thinks of himself, which is rare for an 8-year-old kid." His grandmother's all, oh, they have a GoFundMe page. Why don't we just donate money? Hey, Linda, I'll let you. Hello, there's a show going on here. Hello. Can you pay attention to the show?
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
They have a GoFundMe page. If you'd be paying attention to the program, you could just do it that way. Good grief. I have to say it 5 times because you're like in lala. What's so important that you have to discuss with the staff? You want to share it with the class?
I was talking about my nail color and I wanted to make sure it was appropriate for work.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
I told her I liked it.
You know, this is what I have to put up with as the boss. I just have to suck it up. I can't tell you to work or else I'll get a lawsuit. You know, can't say get back to work. That would be wrong. I'm only teasing, of course. Now, while we were away for a couple of days, I guess this was, what was it, Thursday night, Friday night? I don't remember. But it happened that the Attorney General Jeff Sessions finally responded to Chairman Grassley of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Trey Gowdy, Chairman of the House Government Reform and Oversight Committee, and Rob Goodlatte, who is the Chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. And he responded and said, "I write in response to recent letters requesting the appointment of a special counsel to review certain prosecutorial and investigative determinations made by the Department of Justice in 2016 and 2017. I take the concerns you raise seriously. Since I took this office, it's been my goal to establish the highest standards for our work and maintain integrity and discipline throughout the Department of Justice." Now, there's something going on. It seems like the Attorney General has now kicked things into another gear. I mean, when we found out, he said to FBI Director Wray, "This is too slow. Get the committees the information they've been asking for. Stop delaying." And they doubled up their staff and the hours working. They're doing two shifts, not one shift. Anyway, he said, he goes on to say that I know this department. I respect their mission. I love it and the people. I'm deeply proud of the important work and the hardworking men and women of the department, what they do every day to fight violent crime, reduce opioid, la, 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 la. We're determined to be worthy of the responsibility we've been given. It's important that Congress and the American people have confidence in the Department of Justice. No institution is perfect. That is why my senior leadership team, including FBI Director Wray, are working every day to ensure the highest levels of performance and integrity that we carry out our fundamental mission. We view Congress as partners in this effort. However, the law requires that much of the work we are doing to accomplish these goals remain confidential to ensure full and fair process and just outcomes. In that regard, as you know, the Department of Justice cannot provide continuous updates on ongoing investigations or confirm or deny the existence thereof. This is an integral part of the duty that we have to adhere to in the highest ethical standards and to ensure that prosecutorial and investigative decisions are made without political bias or favoritism in either direction. As you're aware, I've asked the Department of Inspector General Michael Horowitz to review certain matters that you and some members of your committees have raised in recent and previous letters. In addition to his ongoing investigation, the Inspector General has now confirmed that he is open to review into the department's compliance with certain legal requirements and department and FBI policies and procedures with respect to certain applications filed with the U.S. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. By the way, let me repeat, Hannity was right and all the media wrong. And Congress now created the Department of Justice Office of Inspector General explicitly for the purpose of, among other things, investigating alleged violations of criminal and civil laws by department employees, including actions taken by former employees after they have left government service. The Inspector General's jurisdiction extends not only to allegations of legal violations, but also to allegations that department employees violated established policies as well. To carry out these duties, Title V of the United States Code provides the Inspector General with broad discretion and significant investigative powers. The office currently employs approximately 470 staff, a significant number of whom are lawyers, auditors, investigators, who may exercise wide discretion on matters under their jurisdiction. If the Inspector General finds evidence of criminal wrongdoing, he may refer it to a United States attorney who can then convene a grand jury or take appropriate actions. To be clear, the Inspector General has the authority to investigate allegations of wrongdoing, collect evidence through subpoena, develop cases for presentation to the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General for prosecution or other action. The Inspector General may also, under appropriate circumstances, make information available to the public, even if no criminal or disciplinary action is recommended. In contrast, this type of information would not normally be publicly available after the conclusion of a traditional criminal investigation. Now, I'm going to explain what he's been doing and what this means when we get back. And then we have Sarah Carter and Greg Jarrett are going to weigh in on this also. But this is very important, what I'm telling you here. So what does this letter mean? It's important. He goes through what the special counsel law is, and then he goes on to announce that I have already directed a senior federal prosecutor to evaluate certain issues previously raised by the committees And in that letter, he goes on to explain why he's not appointing a special counsel now. But he said specifically, and this goes back to November, I asked the United States Attorney Jonathan Huber to lead this effort. He's an experienced federal prosecutor who was twice confirmed unanimously by the Senate of the United States for the District of Utah in 2015 and 2017. And he said, he goes on, he previously served in leadership roles in the U.S. Attorney's Office, National Security Section, and he goes on and on and on, and how he's going to be coordinating the task force against violent crime, terrorism, et cetera. The only worry I have is the guy's a Democrat. And I'm sorry, but politics in this environment seems to matter, which is why, you know, when Democrats or the Obama administration of people are getting investigated, it's by a Democrat. When President Trump is getting investigated, it's by Democrats. Why is it always Democrats? You can't find any competent Republicans to do any of this? It's unbelievable. Anyway, Mr. Huber is conducting his work from outside of D.C. and in cooperation with the inspector general. That would be Horowitz, by the way, an Obama appointee. I'm just pointing out facts here. I'm suspicious. I always am, by nature. The additional matters raised in your letter fall within the scope of his existing mandate, and I'm confident that Mr. Huber's review will include a full, complete, objective evaluation of these matters in a manner that is consistent with the laws and the facts. I receive regular updates from Mr. Huber, and upon conclusion of his review, he goes on to say, we'll receive his recommendations as to whether or not any matters not currently under investigation should be open, whether any matters under investigation require further resources, or whether any matters merit the appointment of a special counsel. Now, the good news here is that the Attorney General has had this prosecutor working on this unbeknownst to us. The first clue we got was when he was on with Shannon Bream. Now, Jonathan Turley actually thinks appointing the Utah federal prosecutor is better for Trump than a second special counsel. I'll explain that when we get back and much more, and why this coming election is so important. Why are you playing this?
I've taken over your show.
Why?
I was wondering when you were going to pay attention to this music and realize it wasn't FGL.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was all. What is this?
We have a special occasion that we need to address in our studio.
The wedding march thing. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, the wedding march thing, you know, where people do that thing where they march up the aisle.
Well, they walk up the aisle, I guess.
I don't know. Some people march with great gusto.
All right, so I know what this is already.
What is it?
It's the one-year anniversary that Ethan got married and I didn't go to the wedding and you guys gave me a hard time.
No
one
cared.
It was a great wedding without you there.
I bet it was. Now, let me ask you the next question so the audience doesn't think I'm a horrible person. Who gave you the best gift for your wedding?
Me.
Who gave you the best gift for your wedding?
Me.
Ethan.
You were one of the top. You were very good. Yes.
Let me just let you know.
Who gave you the most expensive gift for the wedding?
Oh, God.
Really? We're going to bring this up?
Yeah, we're really going to bring that up.
You're going to toot your horn right now.
No, because you're abusing me for not going to the wedding.
First of all, no one is abusing you. No, I was in I gave the best gift. Let me tell you why. Because Annie and Ethan got married in the middle of the day. And despite the fact that they got married in the middle of the day, and though many people shied away from their dance floor, I made sure I was up there at all times, okay? I got that party started.
Who gave you the most expensive gift?
It doesn't matter. That can't dance on the dance floor. That doesn't fill your
floor. I'm not going to disclose who gave what.
Because I already know it was me, because nobody gives that much for a wedding, and I did it because I gave you a choice. Did I not give you both a choice? You got married 3.5 hours away out in Montauk someplace, you know, out in the ritzy Hamptons or wherever the heck you went, and I didn't go.
And that is the exact word that I used to describe.
You have a choice.
I have a very strong inclination. If I said that you wanted to come, you may have not showed up, though.
Writing 4 hours.
You know
is
what?
Insane.
That weird pause you had right there, that just shows that I win on all counts. One, you would never have danced.
I didn't go to your wedding.
What would you bring to the wedding? What do you bring? You're not going to wear a tuxedo.
Nope.
You're not going to dance on the dance floor. You're going to be the most boring guest there. So stay home.
I've been invited to a party that I might go to that requires a tux. I can't say it on the air, though.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Remind me to tell you in the break. All right, glad you're with us.
I look forward to that. I hope someone has a camera.
All right, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Annie.
Yeah, Annie, whatever her name is. Okay.
Oh!
Don't say my last name. Actually, don't.
Nobody wants to be that associated with me, which is why you don't want me at the wedding.
Right. Take the money and run.
Take the money and run. And Sunshine's going to do the same thing. She's going to take the money like everybody else has. I give everyone the choice.
I want you to ride your motorcycle into.
I don't have a motorcycle yet.
You should officiate.
We're going to get you a motorcycle.
You want me to officiate that wedding?
Whoa! You didn't offer to officiate mine. You didn't even
officiate.
She's
my brother. You're not in the conversation. It's completely different.
Can I FaceTime it? And is this way
Okay, just stop talking. Don't even say that out loud.
Talking?
That's just rude.
Talking?
I think you should officiate.
I offered my house.
And while you're officiating,
Lauren,
I'll interrupt you. Didn't I offer my house for you
to have your wedding?
You did. It was a very gracious
offer. Yeah, because that's easy for everyone from Pennsylvania.
And no, it's easy for me.
Yeah, no one cares about what's easy for you.
And then I can hang out upstairs the Great Gatsby and watch the party.
Are you going to officiate from the balcony?
At all the little people at the wedding.
No, we have this little gazebo in the backyard. I've never been to it, but it's there.
Of course.
I've never been to a part of your own property.
Bob Beckel had a key to my house. This is a true story. And he would come over at all, crazy hours of the day and night. And my kids referred to it was hard because I'd have to explain to my young kids at the time, why is this crazy guy we called Uncle Bob sitting out on the porch at 6:30 a.m. smoking a cigar? It was kind of difficult to explain. And that's what he did. And my daughter daily would say, he's going to die, Dad. Why do you let him do that? He's going to die. And I'm like, well, I told him not to, but he doesn't listen to me. And I'm his friend. What am I supposed to do? And she said, take it away from him and throw it in the garbage. And, it was very difficult. So Beckel one day goes to me, I love the jacuzzi bath you have. I'm like, what jacuzzi bath? I don't have a jacuzzi bath. I didn't know I had one.
We don't need this visual. Just end it with Bob Beckel, and then that's it.
No, don't worry. The bath has been sanitized and recoated. It's fine. No, but in all seriousness, I didn't know that there was a tub that had jets in it in the house. I had no idea. I'd never been to the room. I don't sleep in that room. Why would I go there? I use my dojo. I use the kitchen. I use the bathroom, and I use my room, and that's it. You don't need more than that. That's my point. You really don't. I'd go into my kids' room.
Well, considering your attention span, it makes a lot of sense to me. So, yeah.
Well, what other rooms do you need? What is it that you have?
There are so many things you can do in so many rooms.
Listen, the only reason I have a big piece of property is because so many people have threatened to kill me. That's the honest answer. And so many...
You know, we started on such a happy note about marriage and a one-year anniversary, and we're ending it with people trying to murder you. I'm glad you took it down this road. It's nice. It's very nice. Should we end with the Handel's Messiah? Ending to being murdered on your property and not knowing where the rest of your house is.
Oh, my gosh.
It's perfect. It's fantastic.
Are we done? So there was Trump threatened to cancel NAFTA. There's this big caravan, as the president called it, of illegals walking to our border that want to come into the country. And, Mexico can stop their own people, because they know what they're doing. They're walking to the American border to walk over the border. Remember when I was out in one of my many trips to the border, there was an Arizona lawmaker. I said, okay, see, I'm stepping over here. Now I'm in Mexico. Then I step back into America. And the local politician tried to make the claim that I was illegally reentering the country. That's how frivolous politicians are. I said, okay, this is where Mexico starts. This is where America is. And I stepped over for a second into the Mexico side. And she wanted me arrested and handcuffed and perp walked and mugshotted because I took one step into Mexico. And then the funny thing was, it turns out I was wrong, that it was actually further down. And I didn't know. So I didn't get in trouble anyway. But so anyway, the president fired off a series of tweets yesterday warning Mexico about letting illegal immigrants and illegal drugs and human trafficking continue into the U.S. And the president singled out this group of people. He said a caravan of illegal immigrants from Central America marching towards the U.S. with the permission of the Mexican government. Now, he writes that Mexico is doing very little, if not nothing, at stopping people from flowing into Mexico through their southern border and then into the U.S. They laugh at our dumb immigration laws. They must stop the big drug and people flows, or I will stop their cash cow NAFTA. We need a wall. Well, it's true. Listen, one of the things, I don't think there's ever going to be a trade war. And I know the president, you know, went out with his tariffs. And if you notice, every country is now, as I predicted, now renegotiating their trade deals with the United States. And for those who weren't involved in free and fair trade, now it's becoming freer and fairer. The president's a constant, you know, consummate negotiator. If I would say to him, I want you for the full hour, he goes, no, I can't do a full hour. I can do, at most, I can do 30 minutes. And I'm like, all right, I'll tell you what. Just give me 40 and you got a deal. And then you go 35. All right, I'll just, all right, 38. Now, meanwhile, once he's in the chair, I'm going to keep going, and the full hour is 42 minutes. So So you always start high when you're a negotiator. I actually told him that once. He goes, good, next time I'm going to say 10 minutes. That's it. Which is pretty funny. London's murder rate is now higher than New York City's. That's scary. All right, let's get to our busy phones here. I know a lot of you are very patient. All right, let's say hi to Dan in Michigan. Dan, how are you? What's going on?
Good, Sean. How you doing?
I'm good, sir. What's happening?
You know, and just consider me a carbon copy of you as far as a conservative brain. But, you know, I don't want the special prosecutor anymore, the second one. I want Sessions to be in charge because, you know, if there is a crime in your office and you were in charge to find it, we can trust you. Even though there's people in your office that you know, you're going to do what's truthful and we can trust and we know you. But if you brought some outsider in, how do you know the outsider's not a crook? So Sessions, I want him to run it. I don't get rid of the special prosecutor stuff. This guy in Utah can charge crimes. And between Sessions and the inspector general, if they figure there's crimes there, they hand it to the guy in Utah, or if he figures there's crimes
on his own. Well, it's interesting, but what you're saying is what Jonathan Turley said. And he's a George Washington University law professor. I'm sure you probably have seen him on TV. I happen to like him. He's a very, very smart, soft-spoken guy. But he actually said what Sessions is doing is brilliant. We'll ask Greg Jarrett at the top of the hour to combine all the powers of the U.S. Department of Justice's inspector general. Remember, the inspector general doesn't have prosecutorial powers or reach. But what he's doing is he's combining that with the inspector general, with this prosecutor, Huber, who can bring charges and seek indictments and get results for President Trump far more quickly than a second special counsel would. Which is interesting to me because maybe, I don't know. I mean, I still think in my heart I would have preferred the special counsel because of the severity. And under this scenario, it's not as transparent. We don't know what's going on. It's all happening in a bubble. The good news is that when we didn't think the attorney general was doing anything on these matters, he had this guy Huber working since November. So obviously the attorney general, and he's also now extended out. He wants the inspector general to look into FISA abuses and other issues. He's telling FBI Director Wray to kick it into gear and give the congressional oversight committees the information they've been requesting. So it seems like the attorney general is now beginning to move. And it's been a while, and it's been frustrating for me anyway, but what you see that he's moving on is everything that we have broken and have been covering here on this show. I mean, everything from FISA abuses to investigating the investigators and the exoneration before the investigation and the dossier and the FISA courts and everything in between. There's been a lot of corruption. So I guess, you know, look, I see both sides of it. I really do. I think you make a good point.
Can I say one more thing real fast?
Yes, sir.
And then the second point with it is that everyone says, well, the Justice Department can't investigate itself. Well, the Obama Justice Department people would be investigated by Sessions and whoever he deals with, and Sessions wasn't a part of it. So Sessions can honestly investigate the Justice Department because he wasn't part of the criminal conspiracy.
Look, he's doing it now. I mean, the good news is that the attorney general's moving, and I'm happy about it. Anyway, Dan, thank you. Appreciate it. Let's go to Dan is in Ohio. Dan's an auto worker. What plant you working at, Dan? What are you making?
I work at a car plant. I don't want to say the name. It rhymes with Rhonda in Central Ohio. I live in Columbus, basically.
Yes, sir. By the way, you've got to. Anybody that works in the auto industry has got to be happy that these auto companies are now building their plants, their factories right here in America, and so many are now committing to doing it because you guys deserve these jobs. And the fact that we have been outsourcing it now for such a long period of time because of high taxation and regulation has absolutely been devastating for people like yourself and the American people.
Yeah, the recession was rough, big time. But we get, I was telling the girl I was talking to that we get blasted with anti-Trump media at work. They have flat screen TVs all through the plant that they put their own version of the news up, what's important to them and to the plant. And it's constant negative stuff on Trump across the bottom. And it used to really be all positive stuff about Obama. And now it's like, you know, they'll report on Eminem doesn't like Trump or, you know, The View doesn't like Trump. That's their news. But for a couple of weeks, they had a big thing on NAFTA, how great NAFTA was for the company that I worked for, and how we should all support NAFTA and support politicians.
Hey, listen,
support NAFTA.
Look, maybe you could. I believe I want American built cars, and I don't care if it's Honda. Sorry. I don't care what. If they're building the cars here and they're American jobs here, that's what I care about.
Yeah.
Because the people in Ohio.
I don't know if NAFTA, if it affects them different than other car companies, it must. I don't know, because I would think that NAFTA would be bad for car companies in America. But
all right, Dan. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. God bless you and all you guys working hard every day. Bob is in Palm Bay, Florida. What's up, Bob?
Good day, sir. My wife and I just wanted to thank you so much. We went and saw the movie Light Up Your Life last Thursday.
Oh, you mean my movie, Let There Be Light? Yeah.
I mean, Let There Be Light, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was one of the most fantastic movies we've ever seen.
You know, it's fascinating. We did that movie on a shoestring budget, to be honest. We did it with, and I'm very proud of it, and the Sorvos did a great job. And we didn't have any Hollywood. We had no studio backing, no Hollywood backing, nothing. And now all these Christian movies are coming out. I can only imagine, and Paul, and Let There Be Light, and they're doing so well that now the studio's like, look at Roseanne, and they're all saying, well, maybe we shouldn't insult half the American population, and maybe we shouldn't impugn their values the way they do every day. And maybe the formulaic, you know, sex and murder and violence and Jennifer Aniston falls in love and out of love every 5 seconds, maybe there are other alternatives for movies or some of the cartoon hero movies. All right, so is it better not appointing the special counsel and having the inspector general work with this Sessions-appointed Utah federal prosecutor? Jonathan Turley thinks it is. Also, why is 2018 so important? I think you know the answer. And this is going to be your dilemma in November. Do I want to punish Republicans more than I want to prevent Democrats from impeaching the president?
I have appointed a person outside of Washington many years in the Department of Justice to look at all the allegations that the House Judiciary Committee members sent to us, and we're conducting that investigation.
The big felony in all of this that nobody talks about from the very beginning was the leak of highly classified information when they leaked the phone call of the Russian ambassador talking to General Mike Flynn right before the inauguration. That was a felony. Nothing's ever been done about it.
Is your office investigating this, sir?
That is a violation of the law to leak classified documents, and it is being investigated. I will say this. There are last 2 years before I became attorney general, there were each year there was three open investigation of classified leaks. Now we have 27, and we're going after this aggressively. I have directed it personally. Some of the matters involve this matter, and some of it is matters that I'm not recused on, and we're pursuing aggressively.
All right, glad you're with us. Hour two of the Sean Hannity Show. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. That was the Attorney General, his announcement that a Utah federal prosecutor, he has been appointed to look into all of the issues involving the requests of people like Bob Goodlatte and other committee members that have called for a second special counsel, and he appointed this Utah federal prosecutor. What's interesting about it is you have people like Professor Jonathan Turley, who's a Democrat, and other legal experts actually saying that this decision to bring in Attorney John Huber is is brilliant because it combines all the power of the U.S. Department of Justice's Inspector General with a prosecutor who can bring charges and seek indictments and get results for President Trump more quickly than a second special counsel would actually do. Here to weigh in on that, whether or not we should have just gotten the second special counsel, because all the attorney general did is say, well, not now, but maybe later, and that this is part of a process. Sarah Carter is with us, as well as Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst. Sarah, an investigative reporter. Greg, let's start on the legal side. Do you agree with Jonathan Turley, or would it have been better to just appoint a second special counsel?
Turley makes a valid point that a U.S. attorney does have the power to impanel a grand jury. He can do it anywhere. He can do it in Utah if he wants. And he can compel people. He can issue subpoenas. He can issue warrants to seize documents. And so while I would have preferred a second special counsel who would be equally empowered and would not be beholden to the Department of Justice as the U.S. attorney is, he works for the DOJ, I still think it's not a bad move by Sessions. He's ramping up the investigation, and he's doing it not just with the inspector general, but now with the U.S. attorney.
What did you make of the fact, Sarah, that he sent this letter to Goodlatte, Trey Gowdy, Chairman Grassley, and in response to their calls for the appointment of a special counsel and his decision that, well, okay, we're going to start here, but ultimately we might get to that point?
Well, I think it was a good move on his part because he wanted to address the main players, especially the people that would have the most power and who've been pushing for a second special counsel, particularly Senator Grassley, who has a lot of influence and a lot of power and has been very concerned about the slow progress with the Department of Justice, what he sees as slow progress, and among the others who have been actually complaining and very concerned about the fact that they're not getting the information that they're requesting. I think here Attorney General Jeff Sessions was making his plea to them, making a point, saying, I've had this man, I've had John Huber on this since last fall. He has been working diligently for me. We want to move this thing forward. We don't want to be encumbered by calling on a second special counsel right now. We're leaving that door open for when the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, reveals his report. And if we have to, then we will. We'll move into that realm of a second special counsel.
But isn't Huber another Democrat? Why is it that when Robert Mueller appoints people, he only appoints Democrats? Why, if Jeff Sessions appoints somebody, why is this guy a Democrat?
Well, I think this was a strategy here. Now, remember, Huber was also somebody that President Trump decided not to fire. He was one of the he had put in his letter of resignation. They were letting go a lot of the U.S. attorneys. And in the end, President Trump himself said, OK, I'm not going to let this guy go. I'm going to keep this guy on my side. And then Huber was also criticized for supporting the president on his immigration stance. And this was something that, you know, he was criticized highly by Democrats for doing this. But it's something that he actually believes in. He's also worked on a lot of criminal and national security cases. So I think with this, having all of this in his lap is a huge responsibility. I mean, he's going to have to come forward. I mean, we know that there's evidence out there. We've already seen a lot of it. We haven't seen all of it, that there was something going on in the FBI, right? We know this from seeing, you know, the text messages between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. We know what was going on with Andrew McCabe, and now Andrew McCabe is going to be facing a big legal battle. I believe, and I've spoken to people, grand jury's probably already been impaneled. People are going to be indicted here for their actions. I do believe that. Now, what is going to come out of the Inspector General's report? How much more are we going to see? You know, we know Andrew McCabe lied four times, the deputy director of the FBI. We know he lied four times. He's going to be fighting that. Incredible that he had a GoFundMe page. McCabe is very wealthy, so it's kind of shocking that they would even set up a GoFundMe page for him for the legal costs of the battle that he's going to be facing. But I think, in a way, it makes sense right now, because if they can move forward with this, with a prosecutor looking into this, which we know they have been since last fall, and if they move forward with indictments, and if a grand jury has been impaneled and they're reviewing this information, then we're going to see some progress here, Sean. We're not going to see it's not going to be slow. Now, remember, if they do bring in a second special counsel, this could take years. I mean, It could be the only thing we can do if we find out that there's some major conflict of interest, that they're not going to be able to move forward with this the way the Attorney General would like to move forward with it. But I think that if not, we're going to see this move a lot faster.
Well, also, the Attorney General has said to the FBI Director Wray that they've got to expedite their work. While all of this is happening, it's like we've got an intellectual civil war going on, an ideological civil war going on in the country. And you've got, on the one hand, you've got Robert Mueller and his band of merry Democratic donors. And there is Alan Dershowitz out there saying that this Trump-Russia probe and everything associated with it is going to impact everybody. He has called on an end to the special counsel and the investigation. Then you've got the FBI pulling over and questioning this guy, Ted Malik, a guy that was involved with Nigel Farage in the Brexit, the whole Brexit strategy. And you've got lawyers out there saying, well, the president better, you know, get ready because here comes Mueller against him. So where's this all going to end?
Let me ask Greg.
Yeah, where's it all going to end?
I think it'll end with indictments against members, officials of the FBI, and probably some people at the Department of Justice. And I'm absolutely convinced McCabe will be indicted. I also think that Peter Strzok and Lisa Page will, at the very least, lose their jobs, if not be charged with obstruction of justice. And I think James Comey is looking at more than a half a dozen different potential criminal charges for obstruction.
Well, the Hill has
the Hillary Clinton case.
Hill has a headline today. Comey's book tour is a colossal mistake. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what he should be doing is following the direction of his criminal defense attorney, assuming he has one. I'm sure he does. Because just look at stealing government documents. I mean, that's what he did. Seven presidential memos he took home.
Right, but what's going to happen on the other end of this? What's Robert Mueller got up his sleeve? What does he want to do? How far is he willing to push this country, you know, pitting Americans that feel that, you know, the deep state fix was in against this president, the effort to delegitimize this president, that the whole thing has been a sham from the get-go? Is Robert Mueller going to push this all the way to, you know, the point where people are throwing mashed potatoes at dinner at each other?
I think he will. I think Mueller is determined to find wrongdoing on the part of Donald Trump and his campaign. And if he can't bring criminal charges, he'll make a statement of referral to Congress and try to encourage them to move for articles of impeachment. And, you know, look, that's a very real possibility if in the House of Representatives in November, Republicans lose a majority.
And if that happens, this country is going to be more divided than we have ever been. I mean, I honestly don't see any reconciliation between the two sides here. And we've had the truth.
Robert Mueller for that, because Robert Mueller is a hyper-partisan. It's pretty clear by assembling a team of partisans, all Democrats, and the thuggish tactics they have engaged in and a violation of the special counsel law itself. This is a man determined to bring down the president by hook or by crook.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a quick break. More with Greg Jarrett, Sarah Carter. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. All right. As we continue, Sarah Carter, investigative reporter, Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst. Sarah, you wrote an article, Collusion Delusion, about the new document showing Obama officials all the way up to and including the president and the FBI coordinated in this anti-Trump probe. In other words, they all knew about it. And this is where Peter Strzok sends a text to Lisa Page. Here we go, inferring they knew what they were doing and leaking would create public outcry for a Russian interference investigation. You go through the sequence of events strongly suggesting the FBI encouraged Harry Reid to write letters to legitimize the surveillance of Carter Page. And it goes to the highest levels inside of the Obama White House. Explain.
Yeah, I think this is where, you know, Robert Mueller is going to run into trouble, right? Because the more evidence that comes out based on the special counsel investigation into President Trump, which was supposed to be, remember in the beginning, alleged collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians, and there's never been any evidence of this. What we are seeing evidence of is this collusion between members of the Obama administration and others, especially as we saw in the fall of 2016, heightened when they they were trying to find a way to go after President Trump. And in this story in particular, in the text messages and also White House logs reveal that Dennis McDonough, who was then the chief of staff for Obama, had a meeting. He had meetings with FBI officials, with Brennan. We know that Brennan had briefed the Gang of Eight, particularly Harry Reid, had a private meeting with Harry Reid. Harry Reid at the time, this was in 2016 in the fall, then writes a letter to Director Comey. Now, remember, this is all happening at the same time that we have Christopher Steele, the former British spy, gathering information, creating this dossier, which he himself said was unverified. He reached out to former FSB Russian agents for some of this information. And not only them, we have evidence that he also reached out to people in the State Department and into Obama's State Department and others like Sidney Blumenthal and Cody Scheer, who were very close allies of the Clintons, and getting information from them, putting it together in this dossier. Then you have Brennan. I mean, the director of the CIA basically briefing without any evidence the Gang of Eight and pushing Harry Reid to ask Director Comey to continue and look in and have this investigation into Trump and his campaign. So now you have Mueller working on this, this investigation into this alleged collusion. He's not getting anywhere with it. But what we are seeing is insurmountable evidence, Sean, insurmountable evidence that this was a coordinated effort by people within the Obama administration to open an investigation into Trump and leak information to the media. These are people, I mean, look, Mike Flynn, you played a clip of that. The Flynn leak of his conversation with Russian Ambassador Kislyak during that time set off this spiral. We have Sally Yates, who was with the Department of Justice, then going to the White House and, you know, before that conversation even leaked to the Washington Post and saying, oh, he could be blackmailed by the Russians. And even as recently as this past month, you have Brennan on television. I mean, they're keeping with this kind of, it's like a propaganda, a disinformation campaign. They're alluding to all kinds of things, but without one ounce of information. It's almost like they're fighting for their lives. They have no evidence here, and they keep coming back to this.
Let me get back to Greg. I mean, I think there's a lot there that Sarah's pointing out. And again, I just have no faith in Mueller. And it seems like, you know, come hell or high water, he wants to justify his very existence in all of this, although he's running into roadblocks because of the inspector general. And now that we have a prosecutor on the case as it relates to Huber being appointed and what he's been doing since November.
Well, Mueller's problem is that he was tasked when he was appointed with finding a crime that doesn't exist under the law. Collusion's not a crime in a political campaign. So it was an impossible task. But he was undeterred, didn't bother him. He was going to search for anything and everything that Donald Trump ever touched, which is well beyond the mandate and well beyond the scope authorized by the special counsel law. I think he has probably been discouraged that he's failed to come up with evidence of criminal collusion. Perhaps he's turned his...
But he knows that there's going to be a lot coming out about the organization in the upper echelon, in the FBI and DOJ. So does he try to muddy the waters politically?
I think he'll stay focused on trying to bring down Trump. And if he doesn't do it with collusion, and I don't think he can legally, he'll try to do it with obstruction of justice. The president's words to Comey about Flynn, which do not amount.
Which, by the way, even James Comey didn't think was a big deal.
That's right.
All right,
it's not obstruction of justice.
All right, we'll have more on the program tomorrow. Thank you both for being with us, Sarah Carter and Greg Jarrett, 800-941-SEAN, our toll-free telephone number. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN. Thank you for your medical recommendations, Lauren, who's answering the phones here today. All right, let's go to Salt Lake City, KNRS, Roder Kitts Home. And the home of one of the best burgers in the whole wide, wide world, Crown Burger. They actually put pastrami on the burger. It is so delicious. Justin, what's happening, my friend? Glad you called, sir.
Hi there, Sean. You're a great American.
I saw the Salt Lake City Tribune was taking another cheap shot at me recently in some editorial or something. And like, they can't get over the fact that people in Salt Lake City like the show. And I'm like, well, too bad. Whatever.
Yeah. I don't read the Salt Lake Tribune. Not much use for them. So.
No. Sort of like when I went out there and I debated your mayor. What was the Rocky Anderson? Was that his name?
Yes, I watched that on TV. That was before I lived in Salt Lake City, but I was glad you tore him up the way you did.
You want to know? That became the highest rated television show, local TV show, in like the history of that station. And a poll came out. I think I won the debate 80 to 20%. I was very happy. And I flew out there on my own dime, and I did it because it was the right thing to do, and I was sick and tired of his crap. What's he doing these days?
I have no idea. I think he's an attorney for somebody I saw on the news not too long ago, but I didn't pay too much attention.
Yeah, nobody else is either. Good point. I stand corrected. Yeah. So what's on your mind, Justin?
I was just calling in. I've heard a lot of discussion about John Huber and kind of some concerns that maybe he's not the right guy, but I want to put your mind at ease. I have a personal association with him. First met him several years ago when he was a federal prosecutor. I was on a jury, and it was a pretty clear-cut case, and I watched as he laid out the truth, destroyed the defense, and put this guilty guy where he belonged in prison. And
I don't know him, but that's reassuring. The only thing somebody told me was he's a Democrat. I'm like, we don't get any Republicans appointed to anything.
Nah, I don't know that he's a Democrat or not. And honestly, I don't think it matters. He'll get to the truth and he'll lay it out, and we will see really what's going on behind the closed doors of the Robert Mueller investigation. He'll bring the truth to light.
Listen, that's very reassuring. Listen, I'm glad that, and I've been very critical of the Attorney General. The fact that the Attorney General appointed this guy back in November and we didn't know it is, you know, it gives me some hope because, you know, there's been a group of us and we have, look, it's incontrovertible the crimes that Hillary committed. It's incontrovertible that Strzok and Page and Comey and McCabe and looks like Loretta Lynch all were involved in rigging the investigation. You know, it's incontrovertible she paid for Russian lies to influence the American people. It's incontrovertible she stole a primary from Bernie. And it's incontrovertible that a FISA court was lied to on multiple occasions using Hillary's bought and paid for Russian lies. Now, I always talk about equal justice under the law and the Constitution, which is the foundation for the rule of law in this country. And it is it. I cannot believe that the news media, as corrupt as they are, have ignored the biggest abuse of power scandal in American history. They're that corrupt. And that's why all these people in the media hate me. I was invited again to the correspondence dinner, and I can't believe it. I'm not going to be able to make it. I've never been free on a Saturday night to hang out with these swamp creatures in D.C. It's 23 years and running. I have never gone, and I'm proud of that record. You know what I'd rather do?
I don't blame you.
I'd rather hang out anywhere where real people are. That's where I want to hang out. I want to hang out with the American people, the forgotten men and women in this country that get screwed every day by government. You know,
that's where I'd rather be too.
That is my biggest, that is what drives me now. Everyone in the media, they have no idea what drives me. No idea why I'm so passionate about all this. Because I was that person. You know, I people ask me, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a dishwasher, to be perfectly blunt. And I just been blessed with opportunities. I want to fight every day and do my little part. It's like I say all the time, we're all spokes in a wheel. And if we all do our job, we can get the country headed in the right direction. Thank you, Justin. Go get yourself a Crown Burger as a reward. They're so good. Mark in Brick, New Jersey. Mark, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Sean?
I'm good, sir.
All right. My question to you is this. When can we at least expect, like, the first portion of the IG report to become public? Like, but just give me your best guess. Because we're waiting. We keep hearing week after week. It's coming. I understand.
I was told for the longest time that it was going to be this week. Then last week or maybe towards the end of the previous week, I was told it looks like it's going to be May. Now, I was told by a really, really reliable source what the reason is, but I was also sworn to secrecy on the reason, and I'm going to respect the fact that it was off the record. But I do know the reason why they've delayed it. There is a, and it's actually a very good reason. It just, okay. I'm like you, I'm impatient. And
yeah,
I hope now that the Attorney General has expanded the mandate for the IG, that means we have to wait for all of it to be done. I don't want that to happen. I want to get this first report.
Oh, please. Oh, my God.
I know.
No.
But, you know, one thing I'm really proud of the team that we've assembled here, Sarah, Greg, and Tom Fitton, and Dan Bongino, and Sebastian Gorka, Jay Sekulow. Who am I forgetting?
Sidney Powell, Sarah Carter.
Yes, yeah, Sarah Carter. I mean, these guys, everybody together, we're all doing our part here, and we've been right. And, you know, when I talk to people that really know my sources on a regular basis, they keep confirming to me I'm more right than I even know I'm right. And I'm working the phones as hard as I can. Everybody else is. And for those people that want an instant resolution, that's just not how these investigations work. I mean, we've been able to, in a year, discover what? Hillary rigged a primary. We've learned that Hillary, we've gone through all the crimes that she committed that the IG is going to report on as it relates to the email server. And then we have the fix being in. And then we have the FISA abuses. Then we finally discovered it was Clinton that paid for the dossier that was full of Russian lies. And then we, you know, people like Comey telling the president, well, it's salacious and unverified, but 3 months earlier they're using it for a FISA warrant, and they don't tell the FISA judges either. We're making a lot of progress. That's the best part of what I can say here. By the way, the Trump administration, this just broke, sued California over federal land sales. That's interesting. We'll get you more information as it becomes available. David is in Boston, in Massachusetts. What's up, David? How are you, sir?
Good, Sean. Long time, first time listener. First time caller. And
I grew up.
Format. Love your guests.
When I was, I spent 5 years in Rhode Island. I used to listen to WRKO a lot, and Jerry Williams and Gene Burns. David Brudnoy was on late night on another station, and then later, obviously, Howie Carr was an institution in Boston. He's a great host. Jay Severin was there. You had some amazing people on the radio there.
Absolutely. Great voices on the radio up here. That's for sure.
And by the way, everyone in radio in Boston gets in trouble. They all get in trouble. They're always on the edge in radio in Boston. Anyway, what's on your mind?
All right. Well, a quick statement. First of all, like you, as a Bostonian and a New Yorker, I feel a sense of urgency that I don't see the Republicans are getting. And, you know, the investigation, it's moving so slow. And now my question is, has anybody thought about the possibility that Comey is being so brazen because he has some sense of immunity from Mueller?
Well, the problem for him, if that was his strategy or if that was the case, now remember, they're all best friends. Rosenstein, Mueller, McCabe, Comey, they're all BFFs. They've all, you know, that's where Andrew Weissman comes in with his atrocious record appointed by Mueller. But it's not going to matter is the answer, because whatever's going to happen as it relates to Comey is separate and apart from the special prosecutor. So, you know, why is he so arrogant? Him and Brennan are the most arrogant, the deepest of the deep state.
Sean, let me ask you a question. Is it going to be separate from Mueller? Because if he has something to give, whether it's true or not, and if he has the protection from Mueller with immunity, he can go on a book tour without worrying about anything.
Well, I just don't think that that's going to be in his purview. In other words, it's all possible. I am pretty convinced, for example, that Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, the only reason that they're not fired is because I think they flipped. I think they're working. I think they have some type of deal that they've made as it relates to the investigation into the cover-up with the inspector general and now with this guy Huber. So
I hope you're right. I really do. I mean,
listen, we're headed towards I'm going to tell you something. This country's headed towards a civil war in terms of two sides that are just hating each other. And if Robert Mueller wants, there's a big red button in the middle of the table. And if Robert Mueller is so pompous and so arrogant and so power hungry and so corrupt that he's going to hit the red button and he's going to ignite a battle that we've not seen in this country before. You think it's, you know, and I'm not talking about a war. I'm talking about in terms of there's going to be two sides of this that are fighting and dividing this country at a level we've never seen. And you're going to basically have two sides in America, those that stand for truth and those that literally buy into the corrupt deep state, you know, attacks against a duly elected president. And that's what it's going to be. I'm not talking about violence. I'm talking about everybody hating each other. You're not going to be able to have a family dinner without mashed potatoes being thrown across the room. And if you think I'm overstating the case, I'm telling you, I'm not. It's going to get that bad. It's that dangerous.
No, I'm saying I don't think Mueller or the consequences of what's going on, I don't think they care. I think this is exactly what they want, is the chaos in the Civil War mentality.
It's just look at the people he's appointed. They're all bitter left-wing partisans. All right, I will tell you this. I don't like the Boston Red Sox. Don't take it the wrong way. But I did love the Celtics back in the day when it was Bird and Parrish and DJ and McHale and Danny Ainge. I think it was like one of the best teams ever. And when they would battle the Magic Johnson and the Lakers, the best time in basketball history, par none.
Absolutely. I absolutely miss the 80s. It was a great time. Not necessarily.
Yeah, by the way, how dumb was it for the Red Sox to get rid of Babe Ruth? I won't rub it in, though. I know, that's terrible.
Thanks for taking the call.
All right, my friend. I just hate the Red Sox. I don't know why. I just don't like the Boston Red Sox. I want the Yankees and Mets in a World Series. That's my goal this year. It's a big goal, outside of politics, that is. All right, back to our phones. Clark is in Birmingham in Alabama. What's happening, Clark? How are you?
Hi, Sean. How are you doing? Listen, I have been, you know, being from Alabama, I've been a Jeff Sessions fan for a long time. I was really encouraged when he was one of the first ones out of the gate who recognized the strength of the Trump message and embraced it, and, you know, publicly embraced it. And so I've been a Jeff Sessions fan and voted for him multiple times. Unlike his counterpart up there, Richard Shelby, who I think is totally repulsive, and I blame him for the Democrat we have in the Senate up there today. But I digress. My question to you is, I can live with the fact that this is a positive step that Sessions has made now, but I'm still bothered by Rubenstein, who has seemed to have his puppet strings and pulling him around like a puppet. To me, this thing with Mueller has to end, and Rubenstein has to be the one to step forward and do it. I mean, the fact is,
Rosenstein should be conflicted out. He apparently signed one extension of the FISA warrant using the fake, phony Clinton bought and paid for Russian dossier, and then he appoints Robert Mueller. And Rosenstein is the guy that didn't want Devin Nunes's committee, even though they have, you know, we do have checks and balances in this country, and he didn't even want, we never would have known about the FISA abuses if Rod Rosenstein had his way. Rod Rosenstein, to me, is corrupt. He needs to go. Just like McCabe went, and just like I don't like his relationship with Mueller or Comey. And I look at the whole bunch of them, and every FBI guy I know, every intelligence guy I know feels the same way. You know, the rank and file are disgusted over this because this taints them, and they do a good job every day. And these tactics would never be acceptable if they did it, and they know it, and they tell me every day. And I'm going to give you a little insight. One of the only reasons we're getting to the truth in all of this is because of rank and file FBI and intelligence officials. There are good people that are literally exposing their bosses every day. Little piece of intel. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I have deep respect for these guys. All right, when we come back, why is 2018 going to be a tough year for a lot of people in terms of deciding, well, do you vote for a weak, pathetic Republican that maybe represents your district, or do you vote for the Democrat, or do you stay home when you know if the Democrats get control of the House, they want to impeach Donald Trump? I mean, that's what they want to do, no matter what. Doesn't matter, there's no evidence. You know, impeach 45, you know, bumper stickers, shirts everywhere. Anyway, we'll get to that. Kelly Ward, Sebastian Gorka coming up next. And we'll get to your calls as well. 800-941-SHAWN, our toll-free number. Quick break, right back. We'll continue. Final hour free-for-all next. All right, news roundup, information overload hour, 800-941-SHAWN, if you want to be a part of the program. We're going to take a little deep dive as we begin to our research and look at 2018 and what is at stake here. On one of the big issues will be in states like Arizona and elsewhere, frankly, around the country. And that is going to have to be about immigration and building the wall and DACA kids. For example, the president said this weekend that Mexico has to help at the border. And then he further went on to tell Jim Acosta that Democrats let the DACA kids down and they were offered numerous deals, but they preferred to have it as an election item in 2018.
The Democrats don't want to approve it because they don't want to give us a victory. They think we've had too many victories. We've had a lot of victories. We've had a lot. And we're trying to have a DACA victory for everybody, by the way. And the Democrats are nowhere to be found. They're nowhere to be found. It's really terrible. We're ready. You know the expression, ready, willing, and able. We're ready, willing, and able. They are nowhere to be found.
Mexico has got to help us at the border. If they're not going to help us at the border, it's a very sad thing between two countries. Mexico has got to help us at the border. And a lot of people are coming in because they want to take advantage of DACA. And we're going to have to really see. They had a great chance. The Democrats blew it. They had a great, great chance. But we'll have to take a look. But Mexico has got to help us at the border. They flow right through Mexico. They send it to the United States. Can't happen that way anymore. Thank you.
Mr. President, what about the DACA kids? Should they worry about what's going to happen to them, sir?
The Democrats have really let them down. They've really let them down. They had this great opportunity. The Democrats have really let them down. It's a shame. And now people are taking advantage of DACA, and that's a shame. It should have never happened.
Didn't you kill DACA, sir? Didn't you kill DACA?
There's fake news, Jim Acosta. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. Now, I want to just point out one thing, and that is you've got to understand, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I do know that what is happening, as I said earlier today, with the attorney general now clearly being far more engaged than he was before, and with the appointment of this guy, Uber, and that goes back to, what, November, and he has designated John Uber, U.S. attorney, as the prosecutor tasked with looking into allegations of abuse at the FBI, et cetera, and the FISA abuse and everything else, coupled with the inspector general report. I think we can say with some clarity here that there are going to be some serious, powerful people that are going to end up being indicted. And then the question is, of course, Robert Mueller. He's a hyper-partisan that has an agenda in all of this, as evidenced by the people that he appointed. And who knows what direction he's actually headed in. One thing he's not going to be doing is indicting anybody over any, quote, Trump-Russia collusion. Then the question comes down to, all right, well, 2018 is an important midterm election year. And that's a year where the party that has the White House usually loses a significant number of seats. And you can look at different and varying polls and say, okay, well, what if Nancy Pelosi becomes Speaker again? I think there's an odds-on heavy favorite in terms of a bet that she's going to try to impeach this president regardless of what evidence is out there. And I don't really think that's a bold prediction. And that means that voters are going to have to make a decision early on how much they want to support the president and not put him in that position where a bunch of partisan hack Democrats are going to go out there and try and get this guy impeached. Now, there's some polling numbers that have come out, which are pretty interesting. And this is SurveyMonkey polls conducted from February 12th to March the 5th. And five Senate Democrats would lose to Republican candidates if the elections were held today. And three have approval ratings under 50%. And at least in the Senate, the Republicans as of now are looking pretty good. And you can see the most vulnerable senators are Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Tester in Montana, Claire McCaskill in Missouri, and each of their approval ratings are under 50%. And the least vulnerable senators, Bill Nelson of Florida, Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, Sherrod Brown of Ohio, and Trump's approval is at 50% today. But with the election many months away, a lot can happen between now and then. And Trump's approval is higher than the incumbent senators in West Virginia, North Dakota, Montana, Indiana, Missouri, and Ohio. And North Dakota voted for Trump over Hillary by a 36-point margin. A generic Republican would have a 2-point lead over Democrat Heidi Heitkamp. And Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin has a narrow 3-point advantage over a generic Republican. Anyway, joining us to discuss this and a lot more, Kelly Ward. She is a Senate candidate in Arizona to replace Jeff Snowflake, and Fox News contributor Sebastian Gorka. Welcome both of you to the program. Kelly Ward, how's the race out there going?
Hey, Sean. It's great to be with you. It is going amazingly well. The people of Arizona, the Republicans, the conservatives, the independents, and even some of the conservative Democrats are really coalescing behind our effort, my effort, to get to Washington as a thoughtful conservative leader with a proven track record. They are tired of the all talk and no action that we've seen from the people in Washington for far too long, and they want to send me there to get the job done.
What is the approval rating in Arizona for Jeff Snowflake and John McCain?
I think it's down around 18%, and I don't even know who those 18% could be.
Yeah. You know, and immigration, Dr. Gorka, it's not just Arizona. It's really the whole country here. And I know the president said, all right, well, Democrats killed DACA today, but still the Republicans in the omnibus, they didn't fully fund the wall to be built. I do believe, as commander-in-chief, he would be authorized and within his constitutional authority to have national defense money spent on the border, considering it's a national defense issue.
Absolutely, Sean. I mean, think about it. This is just the revenge of common sense. I think November the 8th, 2016, was Americans applying common sense to how broken the swamp is. And, of course, how can our national border, where MS-13, all these people are coming across, the drugs, how is that not a national security issue? So, you know, the president is always good at pulling rabbits out of the hat at the last moment, and I think he's done it again. So there's some funding already there. The prototype walls have already been built. We've seen a massive decrease in illegal border crossings already, but we just have to get this done. And Arizona is on the front line, and Kelly Ward gets it. She understands that this is a national security issue for all of us, whether you live in Arizona or, look, in Maryland last week, we had 6 members of MS-13 convicted, and 5 of them had gotten into the country illegally. So this is a national issue, Sean.
Oh, I agree. And when you go around the state of Arizona, you know, I guess it's considered by many to be a sort of purple state. But, you know, Jan Brewer was very popular because of her position on immigration. Dr. Ward.
It's true. You know, SB 1070 was very popular because the federal government wasn't doing its job, and Arizona was willing to stand up and say no more. And, you know, I saw a tweet from Charlie Kirk from Turning Point USA. He's a great, great young conservative with a great head on his shoulder, and I agree with him. I, too, am tired of the media and the left equating open borders as the moral and the righteous thing to do, because there's nothing moral about heroin pouring over the border, about thousands of kids being trafficked, about gang members walking free, just like Dr. Gorka just mentioned, in Maryland. It's not as though they're just in Arizona. All the way up to Maryland, illegal guns flooding our streets, criminals walking free in our cities and towns. This has to stop. We have to secure the border, and that starts with building the wall. I'm so glad to hear the president say that we're going to build the wall and we're not going to focus on DACA. The Democrats have missed the boat. They missed their chance on DACA. Let's build the wall. Let's not repeat history that happened under Ronald Reagan by talking about amnesty and authoring amnesty without securing the border. Let's secure the border first.
Well, the president also challenged Republicans that if they need to, you know, get rid of this 60 vote margin needed in the Senate so that some of the agenda can get approved. Now, that is totally Mitch McConnell's call, Dr. Gorka, but he seems to be missing in action on most of this, which is really disappointing. Many Republicans that want to see action and feel like the Republicans have let them down in terms of keeping their promises.
Not just missing in action, Sean. He's supporting candidates in Arizona that are running against amazing MAGA agenda candidates like Dr. Kelly Ward. So, you know, you have to ask the question, what has Mitch McConnell done for this president in the last 15 months? It really is quite stunning how the GOP establishment doesn't understand that politics changed forever when we elected a non-swamp dweller outsider like Donald Trump to become the president. And the same thing has to happen in Arizona. Kelly Ward is not a swamp dweller. She believes in the president's vision, and we need more people like that to shake up the establishment, whether it's Pastor Mark Burns or whether it's all those great candidates across the country who are energized by the election. We've had enough of the swamp, left and right. It's just one big uni party, and we need
revitalization. As I do, that if Nancy Pelosi ever became a speaker and Democrats controlled the House, do you agree with me that it's probably a 98% certainty that they would try to impeach Donald Trump, regardless of the fact that there's no evidence of any Trump-Russia collusion, just the opposite? There's evidence that Hillary colluded with, quote, Russian government sources through Christopher Steele, a foreign national, that she was paying through Fusion GPS and Perkins Coie.
Without a doubt. I mean, look at Maxine Waters has been shrieking about impeachment every day since the inauguration. It goes without saying. We're still waiting for any evidence on Russia collusion, yet to receive any, despite the fact that we know Hillary Clinton paid $12 million for Russian propaganda that acquired an illegal FISA warrant against a Trump associate. That's been documented on your show by Sarah Carter. So, yes, the insanity would continue. And that's why November is potentially more important, Sean, than even the last presidential election, in my opinion.
Dr. Ward, how are Senate Republicans and leadership in the Senate helping you out with your race in Arizona?
Well, we do have one great supporter in Senator Rand Paul, and I think people want more people like Senator Paul and Senator Lee and Senator Cruz in Washington. But just like what Dr. Gorka was talking about, the uniparty, there are two women standing in the way of my becoming the first female senator from this great state of Arizona. On the left, we've got Sinema, who is handpicked by Chuck Schumer. On the right, we've got McSally, who is handpicked by Mitch McConnell. I want the people to choose who our next senator will be. And I look forward to that happening because all across the state we're seeing the great momentum and the inspiration and the motivation to change Washington. And, I think that we're right on the path to being able to achieve that. And I hope that we do.
When is the primary and how does the system work there? You win with 50% of the vote, I assume, and go forward. And when's that?
It's August 28th, and it's whoever gets the most votes. It's, you don't even have to get to 51. And so the establishment is well known for throwing spoilers into the race to try to dilute that unhappy, frustrated vote that we see again and again and again. All the polls show 65 to 70% of the Republican electorate in Arizona are sick and tired of the Jeff Flake, Martha McSally brand of Republicanism. And I'm putting that in quotes. They want a new, fresh, bold leader who will stand up with President Trump, push the America First agenda forward, and be a MAGA candidate and a Keep America Great candidate. That's what we have to do in 2018. I hope people will join me at KellyWard.com. Kelly with an I. Come join this team all across the country. I know only in Arizona can people vote for me, but remember, when I'm in the Senate, I'm going to be voting for everyone else out there, all the conservatives out there who have had the frustration for year after year, decade after decade. We're going to change that in 2018.
All right. Thank you both for being with us. 800-941-SEAN, a toll-free telephone number. Dr. Kelly Ward and Dr. Sebastian Gorka, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. We're going to follow that race closely. When we come back, we'll get to your calls, 800-941-SEAN, for the rest of the hour as we continue. All right. Let's hit our busy telephones here. Lisa is in Arizona. Lisa, hi. How are you? And we're glad you called.
Hi, Sean. Thank you so much for everything you're doing to fight against the corruption that we've been seeing.
Thank you. What's going on there?
I really want to ask you to help me solve this riddle on Jeff Sessions. How is it that he recused himself on the Trump-Russia probe to avoid any appearance of a conflict of interest, but he doesn't have the same standards for his deputy, Rod Rosenstein, recusing himself when he has even more conflicts of interest, so much so that he signed off on a FISA application?
At least one, maybe two. And then he appointed Robert Mueller. You raised the million-dollar question. I don't have an answer for you. It does seem odd, Lisa, doesn't it?
You know what, Sean? It makes me think, is Sessions part of the deep state? Is he part of the cover-up? Because you explain that to me. I really want to know the answer to that. If you recuse yourself because you have a conflict of interest, and then you appoint someone that has even more conflict of an interest and signed off on FISA applications?
If he knew he was going to recuse himself the day that they were voting on him and then recused himself the next day, he should have taken himself out of the running, period. And then on top of that, then he cited the wrong law as the means of recusal. So it never made any sense from my perspective. You know, I think he's trying to do catch up now. I mean, he had a certain urgency with FBI Director Wray, and he did appoint this guy Uber, the attorney out in Utah. And I think that's all important. But I think we got to go further. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. Glad you're with us. Happy Monday. Toll-free numbers, 800-941-SHAWN. You want to be a part of the program. All right, as promised, we're going to get to our busy phones. We'll start with Sal. He's in the ever-so-corrupt Albany in New York. You should see the way they spend money in New York. It's unbelievable how much money they waste in Albany, New York. And how is it that New York has a 10% state sales tax, and states like Florida and Texas have better infrastructure than all of New York? Anyway, how are you, Sal? Glad you called, sir.
Hey, Sean, thanks. I just wanted to say thank you for all that you do on the TV and radio, just educating us all to the truth as far as the Russia collusion stuff. Thanks to you, Sarah, Greg Jarrett, Dan Bondino, who I love his commentary. Just wanted to say thank you for all of that. And I don't try to flip anyone anymore. But at least if they're watching, they're seeing the truth. And again, just wanted to say thanks for all
Listen,
that.
I don't thank you enough, meaning you and this audience, because I don't have a microphone every day and I don't have a camera every night. But for you in this audience that listens and watches, listen, I will say this. I know it's slow for a lot of people, but I've never been more proud of, number one, the team we have assembled, the work and the research and the stories we are uncovering. And I believe that time is now proving over and over again that we've been right on all of this for a very long time. And there's so much more coming. It's an evolving story. But everything that we pointed out, from Hillary, the fix-in on her email server scandal, and how it was rigged, the entire investigation, exoneration before investigation, et cetera. Everything that we've said about the deep state, about the dossier, about the FISA courts, every bit of this is now coming to truth and fruition, and even the mainstream media now is playing catch-up. But they still are more obsessed with Russia, Russia, stormy, stormy, so it is what it is. But, Sal, you make it possible. I thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, and we'll keep listening, and hopefully we can get to the truth, and people that need to be punished get punished. Thank you again, Sean.
It's all happening. Look at the contradiction between Comey and McCabe. This is going to be fascinating as that plays out. I can tell you right now, it's all getting fascinating. All right, back to our phones we go, 800-941-SHAWN. You want to be a part of the program. Laura is in North Carolina. Laura, hi. How are you? And we're glad you called.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I am thoroughly disgusted at the GOP Big Boys Club, just as I am with the Democrat Big Boys Club, because they have it all. They have it all. They had a Christmas gift. They had an epiphany, and they are throwing it all away. And Trump is doing all the right things. And this whole Russian collusion thing, I mean, look what he did to Russia, throwing out Democrats. So that little argument has been debunked. But still, they're on it. They're on it. They're on it. And I just do not understand.
Listen, you have a great congressman in the state of North Carolina. You got Mark Meadows there. There are some other great guys.
I know. I love it.
I'm going to tell you.
When he's on your show.
We need to just keep the pressure on them, and we need them to hold them accountable for their promises. I'm going to tell you what November is going to be right now. November, you're going to have a choice. There's a lot that's going to unfold between now and November. Mueller's going to be done. If I had to guess, Mueller doesn't find anything indictable on the president in any way, shape, matter, or form. There was no evidence of collusion. You know, he'll make hints about, well, he might have, should have, could have done this and that better, and, you know, procedurally, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, there's going to be nothing. And here's the choice that every conservative is going to have, and it's not a great choice. If Nancy Pelosi becomes the speaker, they're going to impeach this president. They won't stop. They can't control themselves. And it's not good for the country. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, if Robert Mueller wants to go DEFCON 5, and really push this to a constitutional crisis, this will divide this country. There will be two Americas. And we're very close to it now in many ways, as Americans now are sick and tired. Look at the president's approval rating today, up 50%. Why is he now getting the best ratings? Because people see through this never-ending conspiracy to delegitimize him and to stop him from... Do you realize the only way they can be successful is he fails at his job? That's why they'll never tell you the successful things he does. And they're now insulting the American people's intelligence at this point, and they think we're stupid. So the question that you will have, and I'm saying this in April, and I've said it before April, going into the voting booth this November in these midterms, is do you want to help protect the president from Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats? And I hate to tell most of you, you're going to hold your nose and you're going to vote for the people that will at least protect the president and not try to impeach him. And if you don't, then we're going to get it will be 100% divide in this country, and it's going to be fierce. It is not going to be good. You're going to have one side and you're going to have the other side. And, you know, people are going to be throwing mashed potatoes at each other at dinners. Anyway, Laura, I appreciate your kind words. God bless you. Keep up the fight. Lisa is in Arizona next on the Sean Hannity Show. Lisa, hi. How are you? Glad you called.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. What's happening?
Good. I was calling because last week you were questioning the legality of moonshine and whether or not you could drink it. And my parents live in Tennessee, and I promise you it is totally legal. There are moonshine tasting places all over the place, just as frequent as there is up in Napa, California, for wine.
Well, really?
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Wow, and do you like clear moonshine?
Personally, I am allergic to alcohol, so I don't drink it. Sadly, I'm 80% Irish and am ashamed to my people. My mother says that I'm an embarrassment to the rest of the Irish.
I never heard of being, so you're allergic to alcohol. What happens if you have a drink? Like, do you break out and...
I get sick. I just get sick.
Like, you get physically ill.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you do know that's what happens to most of us, right, Lisa, when we drink alcohol?
Yeah.
Well, are you sure you didn't have too much?
More than two sips.
Everybody needs to know what their number is. Lisa's number is zero. And
my number is zero.
Yeah.
No, it's two-sip Lisa. She's two-sip Lisa. That's what she is.
All right, two-sip Lisa. But everybody, here's the problem with most people in drinking. They don't know what their number is. And the number is defined by after what number drink does your personality change?
You need a sober person to let you
does
know.
A woman become super flirty with guys she's not married to or dating, but they're there with her?
Or start beating up their boss.
Yeah, exactly. They'll stop beating up. Or you know, where a guy is so jacked up that he's like, you know, thinks he's the king of MMA and is literally, hey, want to fight? Whatever the number that sends you off into that personality shift, that's where you cut it off. One below that. That's the number. And for every person, the number is unique and different.
Kid who's a Marine, we're trying to teach him what his limit is, because when he's around the other Marines, they don't know what their limit is. So
what you need to tell him is you don't want him to be the Marine that's throwing up in the waste paper basket or outside in the lawn.
That's right.
Now, Lisa, we got three types. Thank you, first of all, for your son's service. And second of all, we have three types of moonshine here from our friend in Tennessee. And you said your parents, they know all about this, right?
They do. And I'm actually going. So if there's a flavor you want, let me know. Pick your poison and I'll get some for you.
Well, so in front of me, I just want to know if you know this. So our friend Shelley sent us Old Smoky Moonshine, and it's like apple. It's apple pie. Then we have a blackberry, and then we have cherries. Yeah. Which one is your family familiar with?
They're probably familiar with all of them, but they would probably go towards the Old Smoky type, I would imagine.
Very cool. All right, we're going to keep checking it out. It's pretty awesome.
All right. Thank you so much, Lisa. I think we have a new moonshine convert here in Linda. You really liked it, huh?
I have to say, I was really surprised, and it's very, very good. I mean, anybody that can make alcohol taste like apple pie.
Yeah.
I mean, less calories, same great taste, you know? What's the expression on beer? Less, more filling, less calories. What is it?
Yeah, no. You're talking about light beer.
Less filling tastes great. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, less filling tastes great.
Well, that's how I feel about apple pie moonshine, you know?
Right.
Stay skinny, get a little apple pie flavor. It's good.
Yeah, something like that. All right, back to our phones.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Sean, for the support there.
Thanks,
very,
Sean.
Very helpful.
Yeah, very helpful. All right, let's go to Donna's in Maryland. Hi, Donna. How are you? We're glad you called.
Hello, Sean. Before I get to what I really called about, I just want to say I've had moonshine, Kentucky moonshine.
Yeah.
It was back in the 80s, and it tasted like pure grain alcohol. I held my nose trying to get that down, and I tried to mix it with everything. We had a few good laughs, and it just... It was as bootleg as it gets, and it was scary. In all honesty, I was scared. I didn't know what I was drinking. So hats off to Linda for getting this new
Thank you, Donna.
Version of it.
I'm spreading the word. I'm starting to trend.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go, the trending Linda. I see your New York accent got a little thicker since you've been away for a few days.
Well, you know, you go down to Boca, and you meet your wintertime friends down there, and they all talk like this.
That's what they talk like?
It's very nice.
Very nice.
Very nice. I had a wonderful time.
Oh, great. She's hilarious. Great.
Go ahead, Donna. Get to your point. I'm sorry I interrupted.
My family's into Prosecco in the New York area.
Oh, that's like Lauren. Lauren's favorite drink is Prosecco.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's taste. Thank you guys for having me on the show today.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Donna. You know, we have the best callers ever. I can't believe somebody. I'm looking at Linda's moonshine right in front of her right now, and it just cracks me up. And, well, maybe we need to get some Kentucky Clear and just try it.
No,
I want to. What do you mean, no? What do you mean?
Once you've had apple pie moonshine, you don't go back.
Why am I guessing that all the
sugar?
Why am I guessing all the sugar in that, though, is not good to be drinking all that?
Listen, if it's that or a slice of pie, I'm happy.
All right. Here you go. Let's play it.
Strawberry shimmer on hot lips. Silver buckle hanging off her
lips. You know, you seem pretty happy
today. I sparkle when she smiles.
How was your Easter, Sean? Did you have a good Easter? Did you have a little moonshine?
No moonshine.
No moonshine with your hand?
Lemon drop. Take a sip.
I wasn't drinking lemon drops. I was drinking apple pie.
Get your shine on and shush. Linda's drinking the moonshine. Great. I think we ought to put it on Instagram.
I got to give it to you. That was a good one.
That was pretty good. Oh, man. Turn your party light on.
I think all Mondays would be better if we did a little moonshine. Moonshine Mondays, anybody? Moonshine Mondays.
I don't know. I'm recovering from moonshine Sundays.
I'm doing starting another trend.
All right, let's go to Patty's in Vegas. What's going on K-Dawn Radio? How are you, Patty?
Good. How are you today, Sean?
I can't believe we got lost in a moonshine discussion. All right, what's going on? What's happening?
I know. I was listening to the tangent on moonshine and was quite impressed.
I don't like the taste of strong alcohol. I just don't. I try to water it down so I don't taste it.
Well, then the apple pie sounds like it might be your thing.
It actually was pretty good. I'm not going to lie. It didn't burn. I always assumed that moonshine clear and like 100 proof would burn your esophagus and your vocal cords out.
And melt the paint off your car.
Exactly. And melt the paint off your car and put a hole in your stomach. But apparently it works for some people. So what's on your mind today, Patty?
Well, I think what's really frustrating me, especially after listening to you today, was talking about this, you know, Pelosi coming in as Speaker of the House because we're going to lose these votes, and then the impeach talk. The impeach for what? That's the frustrating part. The media is going on this impeach tangent, which they've done before he was even took the seat in the Oval Office, and they're not being real honest with us on the actual issues. They want to talk about, you know, he's racist, but yet we have the lowest unemployment rate in the Black and Hispanic population ever recorded. He is anti-women. He appoints women to some of the highest seats. Let's go CIA director. He's shown us on several different points that that is not his intention or what's in his heart, but yet we're still focusing on things like Stormy. Who cares about Stormy? You guys didn't care about Juanita Broderick. You didn't care about Paula Jones. You didn't care about Monica Lewinsky. And those things happened while he was sitting in a government position.
But the point is they were non-consensual. I mean, we're going to go back 15 years in everybody's life and we're going to do a deep dive into who they kissed and who wants to tell and whatever. And I'm like, no human being is going to be able to run for president when we're done with them. Now, what they do in office is a very different thing. I mean, because at that point, then it's look, I'll give you one example. if you want to be president of the United States, I doubt your plan is to go on Howard Stern's show. You know, I guess if you live in a monastery, you can run for president. All right, so tomorrow we're going to get into how Donald Trump, your president, is now pressing McConnell to use the nuclear option. Now, why should McConnell do this? Because no Democrat is ever going to support anything that is Donald Trump. You want to get anything done? You want a fence built? Okay, let's get rid of the need for 60 votes. Keep it a simple majority. All right, as always, we appreciate you being with us. We have a big show tomorrow. We'll see you then. Thanks for being with us. Back here tomorrow.